the OTB Podcast Network.
Very welcome back. We are continuing our previews of the contenders ahead of the new GAA season, which is only a few weeks away at this point. It is time this morning to look at the Mayo footballers. Delighted to say that Billy Joe Padden is with us to look at them. Good morning to you, Billy Joe.
Good morning.
Let's get straight into some of the changes then in the off-season. I guess on the outside looking in, it's been all about the retirements. Is that the truth? Is that the big change when it comes to this Mayo team?
Definitely. I think that's still the case. When you look at the players that have walked away or decided to step aside, all right, some of them maybe didn't play that much football last year. Donny Vaughan or maybe Shamie O'Shea. Even Keith Higgins was only coming on in games. But definitely when you take in particular David Clark and Chris Barrett, you know, played really well last year. You know, lots of people would have felt that they could had more to give. So that's left a big gap in that area of the field for Mayo on the full back line and a goalkeeper. And in those areas, experience is very important, and that's going to be hard to replace. The other thing I think where it will have an impact is that James Horan says consistently that the Mayo team is very much player-driven in terms of the culture that they have set there. And there's no doubt in my mind, when knowing those personalities, whether it be David Clark or Keith Higgins, Shamie O'Shea, Tom Parsons, they would have been very helpful in terms of developing the younger players, setting the standards for them, letting them know what sort of levels they have to get to if they're going to be, you know, successful inter-county footballers for Mayo. And I think that's another area of the squad and in training and preparation where they will be missed.
Has that been one of the reasons why we've seen a cohort of young players immediately hit a high level for Mayo, that the environment is conducive to a young player not really needing as much time as in other counties to actually get up and hit that speed required for an inter-county footballer?
I think so. And talking to the players themselves, the older players, they would say that it's important that they set the standard for younger players. When you see Oisín Mullen, Tommy Conroy, even Matty Ruan over the last couple of years have developed really well. Even Paddy Durkin going back a couple of years would have looked to Lee Keegan and players like that and tried to aspire to his level. And he's doing that. So that's important. Now, there still are some key players there. Killian O'Connor, Aidan O'Shea, as I've mentioned, Lee Keegan, they have loads of experience. They can set the standard now for a lot of those younger players. But I think you can't look at that and the development of young players without looking at James Horan, because he's a proven track record at bringing young players along. If you go back 10, 12 years, he brought Keith Higgins, Cullen Boyle, Lee Keegan to another level. Now, can he do it again with Oisín Mullen, Tommy Conroy, these sort of players, Ryan O'Donoghue? And it looks on the evidence of last year, it looks like he is doing that.
I think there was a misconception about James Horan's return, Billy Joe, that it was almost a short-term thing, and that after that game against Dublin in 2019 on that Saturday night in front of a packed Croke Park, it was almost a feeling, oh, the comeback didn't work. But actually the reality was that James Horan was back for the long haul, and the investment in the youth and the medium term here, because winning the All-Ireland is about toppling Dublin, and that's not going to happen in the short term.
You're right, and I think James realised that straight away, that okay, when he first came in, you still had a very experienced group of talented players, and maybe they were going to be able to do something in that first year. But he recognised that he needed to develop his coaching team, he needed to develop young players and build a new team as such. And he's built one really good Mayo team. Can he build another with these young players and go that one step further? As I said, his track record is great in terms of developing young players. He still has Lee Keegan, Killian O'Connor in particular in his prime, Paddy Durkin in his prime, there to help lead. And they're going to be big, big players for Mayo next year. And it's about whether the young players I've mentioned, whether they can go on and get to the level that maybe Keith Higgins got to. And to do that, one good year isn't enough. You have to be able to replicate it year on year and get incrementally better every year. So that's what they'll be looking from the young players.
Billy Joe, we've mentioned some of those big names that have retired, and like the list is endless. I think Mayo fans probably woke up every day in January dreading opening the paper to see who had retired next. But if you look at those young players, and you mentioned Killian O'Connor there as someone who was speaking this week, and he mentioned the fact that, you know, these young players have kept the focus after those retirements, you know, their enthusiasm, asking questions, when are we back, when are we going to be working on all of this, you know, who are these guys that we're bringing into the squad? Is that something, and look, Jason Doherty and Brendan Harrison, I think, are to come back from injury as well now. So is that something that excites you a little bit, that maybe the young players stepping up to the mark might actually get rid of this fear that the retirements might lead to a dearth of experience?
Definitely. I think that Those young players should have got, should have a lot of confidence after what they showed they were able to do last year in a shortened season. I suppose there's some familiarity again in that it is going to be another shortened season. I think the one plus point that those young players at Mayo have, maybe not to compare them against other county players, but James Horne recognises that to play in Croke Park, to win big games, Cork, you have to have that athleticism. And when you look at Oisín Mullen, Owen McLaughlin, Tommy Conroy, Matty Ruan, Ryan O'Donoghue, even Conor Loftus, I know a couple of those players are there a bit longer. They're really, really good athletes, really mobile players with football ability, with ball carrying ability. And that's the way James Horne wants to play. He wants to play at a high tempo, move the ball quickly, press high up the field. And those players are built for that sort of a game plan. It's about whether they can continue to get better and whether they can show the consistency to be able to do it. It was difficult for some of those young players. They didn't play well in the All-Ireland final. They'd done well up to that stage. They maybe weren't able to impose themselves on the game against a team like Dublin, like maybe the way they were against Roscommon or Galway. And that's the challenge for them, to get up to the very, very highest level. And if you're talking about, I'm sure James Horne is looking at the players on the rung on the ladder below them again and whether they can add to the squad. But I think, as you've already pointed out, it's very difficult to come straight into a squad and then get up to a level where you're competing with Dublin. It's impossible in 1 year. You might get up to a National League level or a Connacht Championship level in 1 year, but you need a couple of years of improvements to be able to go there and compete against the likes of Dublin.
How strong is that next rung of the ladder then? Is it going to be a sense that we're going to see a lot of new names, names that we weren't familiar with when we get into the National League? Because I guess they do have Division 2 to try a few things out in.
I'm not so sure that we will see. I know there are 12 new players in the squad getting in training with them at present, and I'm sure James will have a good look at them in training. But I think maybe the focus this year will be on building not so much a team spirit, but a team rhythm and developing those relationships as a team. Because again, it is a short season, short preparation time. So I think he'd focus heavily on finding out what his best 15, what his best 18 is with the likes of Oisín Mullen, Tommy Conroy. Where to play Oisín Mullen? Will you play him in the cornerback because you're short back there? Will you move him out to the half back line because maybe he's more natural out there? Matty Rowan and Conor Loftus getting used to each other more and more in the middle of the field. I think he'll focus on that, trying to develop those relationships, because his time is so limited to try and blood another crop of young players.
Who would you be looking at a fullback and a goalkeeper this year?
Well, you look at Robbie Henley has the experience. Maybe some people might say he's had a couple of bad experiences. I think that he'll start with the jersey based on his experience, and he is a good goalkeeper. And maybe his decision making at times has not been what he would like it to be, but that's something that can always be worked on, and something that generally gets better with experience. I think at fullback, Mayo are really reliant on Brendan Harrison coming back. I think you missed him last year. Chris Barr stepped in there and did a brilliant job, but Brendan Harrison, if he can come back for injury, he's one of the very best in the business in that area of the field. I think Owen O'Donoghue, a clubmate of my own, and Balmullet, who's played some games over the last number of years, will have a real opportunity for one of the cornerbacks places. He has experience again of being on the panel 3 or 4 years. He has that physical development worked on over that time period. I think Brendan Harris is going to be key with his experience, with his ability to try and generate some, I suppose, security back there.
Billy Joe, as Owen mentioned, you know, it's Division 2 for Mayo this year, down Westmeath and Meath to come for them in the league. And then Sligo in the first round of the Connacht Championship, the quarterfinals. Tony McEntee, of course, the new manager in there, so a bit of a baptism of fire for him to have to take on Mayo. And then if Mayo were to win that game, it's Leitrim in the semi-finals. So, you know, from the outside looking in, Mayo have avoided Galway and Roscommon until at least the Connacht final, which can only be a very good thing, especially considering it's a knockout this year.
Yes, and with the limited preparation, and particularly with Mayo, where you have a lot of players based in Dublin, they wouldn't have that much collective training done because of the COVID restrictions. It may be a blessing in some ways if being in Division 2 that you're not bumping into Kerry or Dublin again. No, it'll only be a blessing if you were able to go out there and beat Down and Westmeath and Meath and get yourself back to where you want to be in the higher divisions. But I think that Mayo showed last year that they're able to play that week to week or every fortnight and develop and win those games. And that experience will stand to them. They'll go in rightly as favourites to the Sligo game. If they get over that, they'll go in as red hot favourites again against Leitrim. Tony McEntee and Joe Kane in Sligo will know the Mayo players inside out, so they'll be preparing for them from the get-go. But you would think that Mayo just have too much experience, too much strength, too much physicality. And in Killian O'Connor, you probably have the you know, the form forward in Connacht over the last year, and he'll be looking to carry on that form, and he's going to be very, very hard to stop in Connacht.
I was just reading just on the league championship kind of turnover, your piece in the Mayo News last week talking about championship structures, and I know you referenced the Tailteann Cup and maybe starting the season off as a festival of football and hurling around St. Patrick's Day. But the thing that really stuck out for me was the fact that, you know, if you're a player coming into this year, ordinarily you have 6 or 7 weeks between the end of the league and the start of the championship. So, as you put it, that can be torture for a player. So, you know, not having that this year must be huge. Players will love that immediate switch from league to championship, surely.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple of the Mayo retired players over the last couple of weeks, and they were even thinking that they would really have enjoyed this, because similarly to me, that sort of break between league and championship is really annoying, because all you're really worried about is the tough training and worried about getting hurt before the first round of the championship. But my views on the championship, I don't have the solution to it, but I think the championship should be one competition. I think it should be in the league format and then go into championship altogether. I think you should have a short pre-season, because I think what we're asking players to do in pre-season training in November, December, January is too much, and really it just turns players off. So I think the players will really embrace this opportunity to get fit in a short pre-season over 6 weeks and get straight into action week after week. And as I said before, I think St. Paddy's Day is the right time to start playing football, because the weather is getting a bit better, and what better way to start the hurling and football championships than on the national holiday.
When it comes to some of the other aspects, then Killeen O'Connor was out doing media this week, and we were kind of having a conversation that people are almost talking about Killeen O'Connor as if he's a man who's 32, 33 years of age, when actually he's coming into his peak really at the age of 28. It's been a good break, it seems, for Mayo as well from the standpoint of Aidan O'Shea, that the injury doesn't seem too bad, because there were serious concerns about it. Like, those two things, when you look at it, you look at their full forward line that started the All-Ireland last year, was O'Shea, Killeen O'Connor and Tommy Conroy. That is an aspect that has been so lethal for them in some games. You look at Tip last year, but is also an aspect that maybe they can turn the screw on a little bit more when it comes to playing the likes of Dublin. So how do they go about doing that, I guess, making Aidan O'Shea and what he gives that forward line a more dangerous prospect in the big games?
Well, I'm not convinced that Aidan O'Shea's best position is in the full forward line. I much prefer seeing him more involved in the play out of the field. I think he's an excellent midfielder. I think he does his best work out there. All right, you always have the option to put him on the edge of the square, and he's shown he can be very effective there. I think from the development of the Mayo full forward line's point of view, it's about finding players that work well with Killeen O'Connor, because what he showed you last year is that in a shortened season, when there wasn't a 10-month slog, basically, that he can get himself physically right. And that has been the key for him. Once he's been physically right, there's no question about his talent, no questions about his ability. It's about when he has been fit, he's been, you know, an outstanding marquee forward in the country, one of the very, very best, and his stats tell us that. So really, it's about Tommy Conroy, James Carr, players like that, Darren Cohen, players that will play in the full forward line from here, who can be the best fit to play alongside Killeen O'Connor, and how they can develop that relationship and improve even more. I think that should be the key focus for the Mayo coaching setup, in terms of trying to even improve on what you showed you can do with the full forward line last year.
A question we're asking everyone during the series is what their county's identity is. So if you were to define Mayo's footballing identity at the moment, what is it?
It's athleticism, it's speed, it's attacking, it's carrying the ball, it's attacking out of the half back line, it's pressurised and high up the field. It's about, you know, being able to attack from every position in the field and play that high tempo football. You see in other counties been successful with sweepers and dropping back and playing counter-attacking football. Mayo, when they're at their best under James Horne, have consistently been a high tempo, high press team, and I don't see them changing that.
In terms of their chances then this year, Shane's already alluded to the draw. If they win that quarter-final against Sligo, it'll be Leitrim in a semi-final, and then obviously possibly Roscommon or Galway in a Connacht final. The semi-final draw then for the All-Ireland this year pits the Mayo winner against the Leinster winner. So I guess it's hard to separate the All-Ireland final last year from their path this year and what they might be able to do in an All-Ireland semi-final. So what are their chances in your view?
Well, I don't want to be disrespectful to Sligo or Leitrim, but when you look at who they could face in the Connacht final, you know, both Division 1 teams, Galway probably were the form team of the country the early part of last year, would have been very disappointed with the way they came back into action after COVID. I'm sure there's going to be a reaction from them. They have a good young team. It's going to be difficult for Mayo to, if it is Galway or even Roscommon, to because the good forwards both teams does have to win a Connacht title. But I think that if the Mayo young players develop well, then they find themselves in a very good position. And if you go up against Dublin, whether it's Mayo, whether it's Galway, whether it's Roscommon, in an All-Ireland semi-final, it's about being able to live with them from an athleticism point of view. It's about being concentrated for the full 76, 77 minutes. Mayo played really well for the first half in the All-Ireland final last year and were mentally in the game, were physically in the game, but they just couldn't keep that up. They didn't get enough of an impact off the bench then when you compare that Brian Howard and Mannion come on at halftime for Dublin and gave them that advantage. So you have to be able to address all those issues if you're going to even compete with Dublin for the 70 minutes. And I think the challenge for Mayo or Galway or Roscommon if in an All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin would be, can you play that game for 76 minutes? Can you be in the game for 76 minutes? Because in the last 2 years, nobody has been able to do that.
Billy Joe, we mentioned some of the key Mayo youngsters that came through last year. And just look at the list of names in front of me, like Rory Brickenden, Owen McLaughlin, Brian Walsh, Mark Moran, Ryan O'Donoghue, Jordan Flynn, Tommy Conroy. We've mentioned a few of those already. But you said that there was 12 kind of new heads in the Mayo panel this year in the training setup. Like we always ask people, I guess, about the inside track. And this is the time of year where we love to hypothesize over players that are going to burst onto the scene this year. But is there anyone within Mayo that you have a bit of excitement over, whether it's a young player or someone else coming through from the club scene that maybe we should all watch out for this year?
Not really. I think that, you know, Knockmore won the county championship last year, a very good all-round team, and I know a couple of their players are getting a run, but the real standout underage players for Mayo over the last couple of years that people were really looking forward to see were Tommy Conroy and Oisin Mullen, and they showed us last season what they can do. So I think a lot of Mayo supporters are looking for us, you know, how they can continue to develop. Another club mate of my own, Ryan O'Donoghue, played very well in the All-Ireland final. He had difficulties with injuries last year, but he's a very talented footballer, very different to maybe what the other Mayo forwards are like. He's not the tallest, but he's dynamic and he's a good ball carrier and he's aggressive. Played very well in the first half against Dublin. So can he continue to develop? Can he get a clean bill of health for a season and develop that way? I think Owen McLaughlin in the half-back line, again, we'll get another opportunity. He's got fantastic speed, fantastic engine to be able to get up and down the field. And that's exactly what James Horn wants in that area of the field. So, as I said, I think more so, without putting pressure on any of those younger players that are coming in, I think it'll be more about developing the players that show they have potential last season. And that's what this season will be all about for Mayo.
Yeah, exciting times indeed for Mayo football. Billy Joe, great stuff. Thanks a million.
No problem, man.
Billy Joe Padden there on the line, looking ahead to Mayo and their season in the league and in the championship. We're only a few weeks away from it.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.